translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Madhava, I'll say first. O Madhava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in the devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Devotees generally do not fall down, but if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to Him, gives them protection in all circumstances. Thus, even if devotees fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. We have actually seen that our Krishna conscious movement has many opponents, such as the deprogrammers, who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle, but because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won the case in one day. Thus a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kuntiya parijanati name bhakti padyasati. Also now Kunti declared it boldly that my devotees never perish. In history, there are many instances of devotees like Chitraketu, Indumnumna, and Maharaj Bharat, whose circumstances fell down but were still protected. Maharaj Bharat, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of a deer at the time of death, and therefore in his next life, he became a deer. Yam yam mapismaram bhavam tajanti antakeleveram. Because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord, and next birth in a good Brahmic, and next took birth in a good Brahmarical family and performed devotional service. Suchitam simitam gehe yoga brasta vijayate. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, Vitrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of bhakti yoga, one is ultimately saved. If a devotee is strongly situated in devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him. Kuntiya parijanati name bhakti paneshati. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he is protected by Madhava. The word Madhava is significant. Ma means Ma, mother, Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pata Tanu Dana. Tatra Sri Vijaya Bhuti, Dhruva Niti Mati Mama. Wherever there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his devotee Arjuna, Partha, there is victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. The opulences of a devotee are not result of karma, khanda, vichar. A devotee is always protected by all of the Supreme Lord's opulences, of which no one can deprive him. Tesam nimbuktanam yoga sem aham peham aham. Thus a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee therefore should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured all protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Mandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chaksur Miritamena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadabhayam Tadhati Swapatantikam Vanchakalpatrubhishya Kripa Sindhubayu Chapati Nam Pranebhyo Vishnabhyo Namo Namaha. So, I take a comparison like the verse we did yesterday. It spoke about those who don't take shelter of the Lord. And Yes, this verse. Yene ranamiksha muktamanina stvaya asta buddha asuddha buddhaya aruna kichana padam padam tate patanti adad nishti yasmut ananigriya. So in this verse it explains, someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure, they fall down from the position of imagined superiority because of they have not regard for your lotus feet. So, for the devotees, one time they, Prabhupada asked a question to the devotees that, why have you surrendered to Krishna? So one devotee, he said, he quoted the verse of 1866, Sarva Dharmam Parikyajya Mamekam Sarmaja Aham Tam Sarma Moksami Masacha, where Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me, I'll free you from all sinful reactions. So when the devotee gave the answer, Prabhupada didn't accept that. Another devotee said, because you say Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't accept that as well. So the third devotee, he said, because we feel we're getting Krishna's reciprocation. And Prabhupada accepted that. Because Prabhupada gives understanding that how can someone give up their way of life, which is opulent life or a very degraded life, and take to austerity and take to the path of surrender to Krishna. Because they must get a higher taste. This is the only way that one can surrender to Krishna. So, and generally we see how for the non-devotees, the impersonalists, their approach is very dry. They have no substance. And Prabhupada comments in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that even sometimes the impersonalists take to the study of Bhagavad Gita, but because their austerities are very dry, they have no. Whereas devotees, they have the understanding that they can offer things to Krishna like vegetables, fruits, flowers, and Krishna will accept. But the non-devotees, they avoid these things, thinking that the impersonal Brahman is the highest. So Jiva Goswami, he comments that those who are impersonalists, if it happens that they try and force themselves into the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, then Lord Shiva, with his arrow, he shoots them down and they become gemstones. So all this austerity which they have done, which is much more harder than what devotees do, leads them to becoming gemstones. So we can see, just take a comparison, how the line of devotional service is much easier compared to the line of what the impersonalists take, the austerities, what they do. So I've taken different I'll tell a few stories to point out how the path of devotional service is all how Krishna reciprocates. So in the Adivara Purana gives the example of a Shudra outcast named Vidhara. It is said that in previous Kali Yuga, a Vaishnava king named Vasu temporarily left his body to visit Svetadvip. When Maharaj Vasu returned to his body, he found that in his absence a Rakshasa had taken shelter there. To exorcise the creature, Vasu recited a Vedic hymn known as Brahma Parikaya Stava. Although an eater of human flesh, by touching the body of the king who was greatly advanced in devotion, Vayada gave up his simple ways, became a devotee, and even had the vision of Lord Jagannath. So we can see even those who are not in the line of devotion, but they come in touch with devotees, like we do book distribution on the street. People come in touch with devotees. That can change their course of life. It can change their destiny to becoming devotees in time. And we can take it further, like because in the purport it says how Krishna saves those who, like the example of King Bharat is there. He became a deer in his next life, but he had to. But ultimately, Krishna saves even these devotees who try their own way of approaching him. But they have to go through a lot of difficulty. One example I can think of is Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was a great sage, but he went to austerities in his own way to try and approach Krishna, but he went through a lot of difficulty. Like he did 60,000 years of austerity, and Menaka came and disturbed him. Then he lost all his austerity. Then the other one was he had a fallout with Vasishtha Muni, because Vasishtha, he was he wanted to take the Kamadendu cow of Vasishtha Muni away, because Vasishtha Muni was a Brahmana and he was a Kshatriya, so he wanted to take that cow, but he got defeated. Then he wanted to become a Brahmana. He wanted to become a, because he could understand that Brahmanas are more powerful than Kshatriyas, so he did more austerities. And eventually became a Brahmana. But if he just took to the devotional path which the Acharyas are giving, he would have saved all that trouble of so many thousands of years of austerities. He could have achieved perfection very quickly. So the devotional path is very easy. Why it's easy? Because Krishna uses the devotees as an instrument to give it to others. Krishna uses them as an instrument. He makes it easy to the devotees. And even King Prithu, he prays to when Lord Vishnu is coming, because the story goes how he was trying to do 100 horse sacrifices. And Indra got disturbed, because Indra was thinking that Prithu would take his position, King Prithu would take his position. And when he got to the 99th one, then Indra was stealing the horse. But after Lord Vishnu comes and he sorts everything out, and he brings Indra with him. And so when King Prithu is offering his prayers to Lord Vishnu, he's praying that, let me have the association of your devotees, because your presence can be achieved, because your presence is always there in the creation, you're pervading. King Prithu prayed that, when you leave my assembly, I'll have no one except the devotees. To have your personal presence won't be possible all the time. But to have the association of your devotees, by their mercy, I can feel your presence. So, from this, it seems like the being with devotees is like getting the same benefit as Krishna's personal presence. And the neophytes, who are not on the, he says the neophyte devotee, he just worships the deity, but he doesn't respect the devotees. The Madhyama, he respects, he makes friends with devotees, he worships the Supreme Lord, He avoids envious and he preaches to the innocent. So, according to Jeva Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam, it seems like to make advancement in the line of devotional service, one has to come to the Madhyama platform. Unless one comes to the Madhyamadhikari platform, there's chances that one can fall down. So there's another story which I heard from Fakir Mohan. You know, he was with Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He's quite a scholar, so he did research on this story to show the comparison, because Lord Chaitanya's family, they were from Orissa originally. So he tells an interesting pastime. When Lord Chaitanya was in Orissa, there was a family offering raw rice and vegetables to the Shalagram. They were offering raw rice to Shalagram, this family. So Lord Chaitanya cursed the family to become elephants. In time when Rasikanandan was preaching, one elephant was creating a lot of disturbance and killing people, ruining gardens, and so Rasikananda confronted this elephant and made him into a devotee. When this elephant was made into a devotee, the whole family, which was cursed to become elephants by Lord Chaitanya, they also became delivered. So we can see the comparison, how if we try and approach Krishna directly, Krishna is very strict. But if you approach the devotees, he's very merciful. The devotees are more lenient than Krishna. So by getting the mercy of devotees, then it's easier to approach Krishna. So there's a give some insight on what it means to practice devotional service. So there's other examples to show how the mercy of devotees is very important, because we see in the history of even King Muchukunda, this is with the Kalyavana story, how Krishna was Rancho and he escaped Jarasandha, and then Narada Muni went to Kalyavana. Well, Kalyavana went to Narada Muni and said, "Who's the most powerful person?" And Narada Muni told Kalyavana that the Yadus are the most powerful. So Kalyavana, he went to disturb the Yadu dynasty, and he wanted to. At some point, he was trying to defeat Krishna. He was trying to catch Krishna. So Krishna led him into this cave where he was little ahead of him. So Kalyavana couldn't touch Krishna, and he had 30 million soldiers. But still, he couldn't touch. Krishna dropped his weapons. So Kalyavana dropped his weapons, and he was chasing Krishna. And Krishna led him into this cave, somewhere very far. And when Kalyavana entered this cave, he saw someone lying on the cave. And this was Muchukunda, because previously he was fighting for the demigods. And the demigods gave him a blessing that he could sleep as long as he wanted, for a long time. And anyone who woke him untimely, they will get burnt up with his vision. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. So So when Krishna entered this cave, he hid himself. Then Kalyavana was thinking that, who is this? Krishna is trying to hide from me, or this is Krishna disguising himself, lying on the floor. So he kicked this person. This was Muchukunda. So then Muchukunda looked at Kalyavana and burnt him up. He burnt him up. Krishna comes forward, and Muchukunda is offering prayers to Krishna. And Muchukunda is telling Krishna that, I'm very fortunate that I've had your darshan. And I have this blessing because I had the blessing of Garga Muni. Garga Muni was Krishna's priest. And because of his serving him, now I have your darshan. I was unfortunate that I could not be as fortunate having the association of your devotees. And Prabhupada says in this story how Muchukunda had to wait a long time to get that Krishna's darshan directly. But if he had the association of devotees, the darshan would have been much quickly achieved. And in the story, Prabhupada comments how Krishna is telling Muchukunda that because you were a kshatriya, and because as being a kshatriya, you had to kill animals and you had to suffer some karma for that. So now you have to purify yourself, and in your next life you'll become a pure Vaishnava. So it seems from this story that if one approaches Krishna in his way, then it takes many, many births to achieve that. But by going to the association of devotees, this is achieved in one lifetime. And Prabhupada gives another interesting story to show this point, how this is in a story of when Krishna is dancing on Kaliya's hoods. So Prabhupada comments that not everyone will get the fortune like Kaliya did, where Krishna would dance on his head, like Krishna danced on Kaliya's hoods. But if one follows the order of the spiritual master, then in this very lifetime one can go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada is commenting like this. Prabhupada gives another comparison. This is Vishwanath Chakra Thakur giving a comparison. He's saying that this Subari Muni, he was doing austerities under the Yamuna. And he built up compassion for the fish. Right? So when Garuda was coming there to get fish, because this was his food, he's a carrier of Lord Vishnu, he's a bird, he has to eat fish. So Subari Muni, he cursed Garuda that if he comes any more, he will die. So Garuda decided to catch the leader of the fish and fly off. But then when Subari Muni made that curse and he was under the Yamuna, he saw two fish copulating. And from that he fell down in his austerity. And he wanted to have wife. So he had 50 wives, I think, 50. He got married to the king, the daughters of Mandata, King Mandata. So Prabhupada gives a comparison. He says, Subari Muni's compassion was for the fish. Well, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur is drawing his comparison. He has his compassion for the fish. Whereas, after Subari Muni, Garuda didn't come, Kaliya came. Kaliya came into the Yamuna and he poisoned the whole lake. And no one could enter this lake. Anyone, the birds would fly, they would fall in, they get poisoned. Even demigods could not come into that area because Kaliya made the whole city there. So eventually Krishna came and he drove Kaliya away. So the comparison is given how Subhari Muni's compassion was just for the fish, whereas Krishna's compassion was for all living entities. So, if we go by Krishna's compassion, then we can benefit more people. Everyone can be benefited. Whereas Subhari Muni's so-called compassion was led to the Yamuna being poisoned. So how to go by that Krishna's compassion is that we have to follow in the line of the acharyas. And there's a verse given in the Srimad Bhagavat, in the Mahabharata, Tarko Patista Vivina Narushyasa Vinam Dharma Satata Vaigitaya Guyam Mahajanagata Sampanta. That simply by logic and argument one cannot approach the truth because we are limited in our intellect. Then Narushi Yasha, even great sages differ from the truth because they have different opinions. Dharma Satatavai Guyam, that even religious principles are difficult to understand sometimes because different people have different opinions. But Mahajanagata Sapanta, that if you follow the line of the self-realized souls, then our perfection is guaranteed. Because they go by they go by the teachings of what Krishna wants to be established for the humanity at large. And this is in the line of parampara, the line of disciplic succession. So, okay, I'll read an interesting story just to show how if we are honest with Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates with us. So this is an interesting story to show this point. This is about Uddarayan Acharya. So this is an interesting story showing. There was once a great scholar in Mithila named Uddan Acharya. He was a great pundit in Naya philosophy. He was able to defeat everyone and establish his own verdict. No one dared to argue with him. Even learned Buddhist and Jain philosophers avoided meeting with him out of fear. Once Uddan Acharya developed a desire to study Jagannath's philosophy. He found in the Skanda Purana verse that's read, Yatra Sakya Jagannatha Sankha Chakra Gada Jatu Nam Darshanat Mukhitam Yad Dadat Kupin Kripin Ditti Purushottam Mahamaya 7:30. Whoever takes darshan of Daru Brahma Jagannath will immediately be liberated. Although Uddarayan had faith in Lord Jagannath, still he could not believe this statement. Yet he had a desire to examine the verse more thoroughly. One time he travelled to Puri. He arrived at night and went to take rest, planning to go for darshan the following morning to see if he would get liberation like the verse said. Early the next morning, the head pujari came to the temple gate, but he could not open it. Others soon arrived and all tried their best, but none could open the temple. No puja could be done and there was no Mangalarti. A message was sent to the king. He came personally and tried to open the doors. Still they would not open. Everyone thought that a very sinful person had arrived in Puri, whom the Lord did not want to see. For the entire day the doors remained shut. Finally everyone went home and took rest. During the night, Lord Jagannath appeared to the head pujari in his sleep and told him, as long as this non-believer Uddayan Acharya is in Puri, my door will not open. I am only available to those who have faith in me. Faithless people cannot reach me. Next morning, Uddayan Acharya performed puja to his Shalagram Shila. At that time, the head pujari of the Jagannath temple, along with many others, arrived at Udayan Acharya's place. The pujari asked, "Are you Udayan Acharya from Mithila?" Udayan Acharya stood and replied, "Why? Yes, I am the I am. The pujari said to him, "You have no faith that one will attain liberation just by taking darshan of Lord Jagannath? That is why Lord Jagannath's temple did not open yesterday. As long as you remain here, his doors will not open." Udayan was surprised to hear this and immediately understood his mistake. He said, "Due to one sinful person like me, so many people will be deprived of having darshan of Lord Jagannath. I must go myself to pray to the Lord forgiveness. Let me see whether he listens to my prayer." Udayan Acharya went to the temple. Being very humble, he prayed to Lord Jagannath. Immediately the door of Lord Jagannath's temple opened and everyone took darshan of the Lord. So that shows that how we approach Krishna, he reciprocates with us. So, and Prabhupada also commented, and he commented that in his lecture, he's elaborating on this point that if we have faith in Krishna, then we'll become fearless. And if we don't have faith in Krishna, then we become fearless, fearful. So, there's more things I could say, but 8:30. Any comments or questions?